You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you right here on KFH, right here on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, all over the place. We are with you today. Be careful out there. If you're driving right now, it is slick. So we've got to watch what we're doing. Be careful. Make sure that, you know, everybody is everybody's safe out there. We'll try to entertain you on that longer drive to work this morning or wherever it is that you're going. Let's hang in there. We all thought we were through with this, and we're not. And so we have to deal with it. And I'm not happy about it. And that's okay, because we can't control the weather. We can just yell at our local meteorologist. Just kidding. Don't do that. They don't control the weather either. But hey, thanks to them and thanks to everybody over on KNSS and all the Odyssey family for being at work and helping us, you know, stay safe and be informed this morning. Guy Jad Chambers all over it, all over the traffic angles of things today. So hang in there, everybody. We'll get through another winter blast here. It'll be spring and then summer soon enough. Thanks for watching us on those video streams. If you're watching today, you'll notice that it's super cute. Tommy and I are matching this morning. Totally planned. So, hey, Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm here. I'm hanging in there. I'm doing everything I can to power through. It's weird. The last like week or so, I've been dealing like with a head cold and everything and, you know, trying to battle through it and take the meds and do all of that. And then last night, we were hanging out, finished dinner, put the kids down, and I couldn't stop shivering. Like, you know that feeling where it's just like, yeah, you just feel so cold. And I'm like, you know, it's cold outside. That's probably what's going on. My wife in her infinite wisdom was like, you need to take your temperature. And I did, and I had a fever. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. I'm going to sleep it off. It's going to be fine. Woke up this morning. Fever is higher than what it was. But you know what? I'm here. Rather than going and exposing Max in the studio, I would do my part of the show from home like you do a lot. And we're here. I'm going to try to get through the next 2 hours with a 101 degree fever.
Max appreciates that. Appreciate you being here, Tommy. It is one of the great things. You know, you can't work sick a lot, but this technology that we have incorporated on the show over the past, I don't know, how long have we been incorporating this technology? 2 years or so, does allow us some flexibility. So hang in there. We'll try to carry the load. You can participate too. You can call us at 869-1240. You can leave us comments on our video streams and any of the places you're watching. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. And you can also leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app, which is actually pretty cool. You just hit the little microphone. You can leave a message and we can take those out right over the air. Of course, we'll be talking college hoops today. It's a busy college hoops day. Big win for K-State last night and a necessary needed win for KU last night. We'll dig into both of those. We've got our KU insider, Shreyas Lada, coming up in the next hour. We will not have Kevin Saul. He had a last minute scheduling conflict last night. So we will not be talking to Kevin Saul today, but we will be getting ready for a Shocker basketball game tonight as well, as you'd sure like to see him follow suit here. Can they catch some of the same lightning in a bottle that K-State has caught? as they get a massive win over Arizona last night. And we'll see the ultimate ramifications of that. I don't think we've seen what it does for them in the net just yet. We will maybe before we get off the air this morning, but it really is impactful into the conference standings. They just kind of keep holding suit, and they'll play some of the teams that they're chasing here, but it's all about that tournament resume. I've got some people, Tommy and in Amarillo, who are, of course, where I'm from, paying very close attention to Brendan Hawson. They're texting me like, man, if they win this again, like they might be a top 25 team. And I'm like, no, they're not going to be a top 25 team. I don't know that they could be a top 25 team if they won all the rest of their games with 11 losses, but it doesn't matter. It only matters what this stuff does for them in the net. And it's even as much about, you know, the wins, Tommy. They're going to have to overcome some bad losses, and that will be challenging for their resume. They really need, if you're a K-State fan, you need to become a Wichita State fan real fast, because they need Wichita State to get a whole lot better so that loss doesn't mean as much. You know what I mean? So it's not about top 25. It's honestly, and what's going to be real wild about this, Tommy, it's not even about Big 12 standings, because right now they sit pretty in the Big 12, right? They're seventh. They're tied for fifth. Sorry, tied for sixth right now in the Big 12. And they could, if they keep playing like this, which is, by some metric, still the best any team is playing in college basketball since late December, they're going to have an opportunity to be very high in the Big 12 standings. But because of the way they started their season, the net is not reflective right now. And it's going to be this strange phenomenon. If you go and look right now at the net rankings as of this morning, and let me just pull them up officially and not use this secondary site I'm using, to see if they really only did jump one spot. Okay, so they are up to 70. So they didn't jump much yet. So let's look at this. They would be, Tommy, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th in the Big 12 in net ranking. That's going to be a problem. And so they're in fifth place essentially in the Big 12 standings, but 11th in the Big 12 in net ranking. Net ranking is what gets you into the NCAA tournament. So this is going to feel very backwards for us for a while, right? We're going to look at that and be like, man, they're competitive again in the Big 12, and they're going to be playing, and they're trying to get into Kansas City with a real good seed, and it doesn't really matter right now. They just have to keep winning all these games because their net ranking doesn't get better. They'll become an anomaly as a team that gets into the NCAA tournament. And that is going, it's unique. I don't remember seeing anything like this for a team. I mean, we've seen it, teams catching fire late, but they will have to catch fire and stay on fire through about 15 games for this to be a thing. And right now they're on their way.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday in advance of the Arizona game. And I thought, what's the best case scenario for Kansas State? Like, let's just assume that they went out in the regular season, they go on a run in the Big 12 conference tournament. Like, what's the ceiling for them? What's the best case scenario? And I think that a lot of it is probably to get into the NCAA tournament and be solidified as a tournament team, not on the bubble, not on a team that has to sweat it out on Selection Sunday, not a team where you have to debate, and you may have to still debate the net and the strength of schedule and some of the bad losses, quad one, quad two, like all of that. That's probably going to be part of the conversation regardless. But I think the best case scenario for Kansas State is if they can play their way into the tournament without much drama, without much question about whether or not they're deserving of being in there. Otherwise, you know, if you stumble, you know, down the stretch and look, like, they're the hottest team in college basketball right now. So I've got no doubt in my mind that they can continue on this streak of really good basketball. What you want to try to avoid if you're Jerome Tang is having that doubt creep in the mind of the committee. You want to be solidified in the tournament field. And the only way they can do that is to keep winning.
It's wild. And it will take like no stumbles. Like last night, they missed a couple free throws late, and we'll get into the game more specifically in the next segment. But like, you can't stumble in any of these games. That's really hard to do in college basketball, especially when you have to go on the road to do it. They don't have any good non-conference wins, not one. So everything has to happen within the Big 12. That's a lot to ask of a team. That's
they've
ton.
Checked the boxes, though, in, you know, the Big 12, at least as of now, like with the top 25 wins they've gotten over the last 2 weeks. You know, they've been able to compensate for the fact that they didn't have any good non-conference wins whatsoever by knocking off multiple top 25 teams in the last 2 weeks.
Let's talk about that game. Let's talk about KU when we return on Sports Daily. All right, your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line, sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour on the Odyssey app. Find out more at kfhradio.com. Cruise sounds pretty nice right about now as we are dealing with some more snow. Please be careful. You know, let's stay safe out there. And you know, if you're out there and you're wondering, just take it slow. Just take it slow. You'll be all right. Just drive slow. Let us hang with you for a little bit longer. All right, Tommy. We look at let's start with K-State because you know obviously the opponent was big and the impact is large and. You know, KU we'll get to, and we'll have Shreya Slotta in to help us talk about KU too. When we look at that K-State game against Arizona, it was kind of, you know, a lot of more of the same. Kansas State, they didn't have that huge run where they had to overcome it in this game, which is always good to see. They actually, you know, they won the first half, and then they were the second half it was tight all the way through. And we knew they wouldn't be able to do that probably against Arizona. Doug McDaniel continues to be the straw that stirs the drink as far as what's different now versus what was different then. 14 steals last night. 14 steals. come on. Like, where is this coming from? From what we saw earlier in the year, including five from McDaniel, by the way. You know, and it's interesting to kind of gauge it. Everyone, it's like, oh, it's Coleman Hawkins. I'm like, guys, Coleman Hawkins has been, he's been doing his thing the same way all year. He did not have a good game last night. And that's okay. He's not going to have a good game. He still brought it defensively. He still had a handful of steals. It was, I thought as much as anything last night, Tommy, in a game where Coleman Hawkins does not have anywhere near his best game, he's still bringing it defensively. Brendan Hawson, those two went 0 for 10 from three. K-State went 1 for 19 from three. There were a lot of things that in a game against the 13th ranked and second hottest team in the Big 12, you play and you get blown out of the building. But look what happens when you play good defense. And they did. And they were able to overcome a night where offensively, for a lot, I mean, they really struggled to be pretty blunt about it. And they were able to overcome it and still get a win. That's the kind of stuff that makes good teams great. And it is so strange right now. And people that aren't paying very, very close attention may roll their eyes at this, but Kansas State's a great team. Kansas State's a great team, Tommy, that played like crap for 3 months. That's what we're seeing here. And it's not even that crazy because we thought going into this year that this team did have a chance to be a great team. The pieces all fit. We loved the fits. Like everything was looking good. And they played like garbage for 3 months. And now all of a sudden, we're seeing a great team. It's not like they're not just hot or they're not just because they're doing it in different ways on different nights. They're bringing the energy. Like this is a great team. Now, whether they can ultimately get where they want to go is still a really, really tall ask for them. But they're on their way. And that is absolutely insane to think about if we'd have said that on Christmas. It's just crazy. This is one of the strangest seasons I can remember. For the bottom and the top to be that wide ranging is just wild. But this, I mean, do you agree? This is a great team. I don't know whether they're going to get there or not, but that team we've seen for the last 3-4 weeks is as good as there is in the Big 12. I mean, they're very good.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when they were struggling so much early in the Big 12 season, even going back in the non-con, yeah, I mean, you're right. There was so much attention placed on the shoulders of why Coleman Hawkins wasn't delivering, why he wasn't able to produce at the level that I think that everybody wanted him to, or at least had the expectations that he would. And what was lacking, what was missing in that entire discourse was, where are the other guys? Like, where's Doug McDaniel? Where is, you know, Max Jones? Where's CJ Jones? Where's Brendan Hausen? Where's, you know, even a returner like David Gasson? Where are those guys? Because at that point, when things were going from bad to worse for the Wildcats, it wasn't just Coleman Hawkins. Yeah, he got the attention, but nobody was playing well. All the different times, especially offensively, where, you know, the team just stood around and, you know, it was maybe a one-on-one type play or something. And like, they just didn't move. They didn't run any kind of like set offense. It was brutal to watch. And, you know, it's no, I don't think it's any coincidence at all that when they've started playing better, it's not just been Coleman Hawkins. We've seen the ascension of several players in that team, including and especially Doug McDaniel. What he was able to do and what he's been able to do, not just last night, but throughout this entire stretch of games for Kansas State, I don't think can be understated. I mean, there were a couple of times last night, especially, I'm watching him, I'm like, is that Noel out there, you know, or is that Doug McDaniel, you know, and just the way that he was attacking and executing, I don't think that you can discount that whatsoever. Of course, all of the attention is always going to be on Coleman Hawkins just because he was your prized transfer NIL guy coming in. But without the contributions, especially on the defensive end of the court by those other guys, they wouldn't be where they are right now, especially, you know, like you just mentioned, they won by 3 against Arizona last night on their home court while shooting 1-for-19 from beyond the, like, they didn't have a good shooting night whatsoever. And that's what I had been wondering about. Like, yeah, they had shot the ball pretty well throughout the course of this win streak. Brendan Hausen had shot the ball great. And, you know, I thought to myself, what happens on an off shooting night for the Wildcats? Can they still find a way to win? And they did just that last night.
It's interesting because you don't know, and we don't know, and we've asked and we'll continue to ask, you know, Wyatt Thompson and Tim Fitzgerald, who are real close to the program, like, what was it that clicked then? Is it, you know, and we wondered this too, like, are they just not running anything on offense, or are they just not, is whatever the coaches are trying to run, are they trying to run something that is not working? And so, like, I don't know the answer. It doesn't matter anymore. Maybe revisionists, we can go back and look if, you know, if they don't ultimately get there and wonder about it. But and here's the thing for me on Coleman Hawkins. Like, I go back and I'm looking right now at his game logs for the entire season. Okay. And we'll just look at the losses, the Liberty loss, right? He had 11-5-4. St. John's, he had 11-9-3. Drake, 16-5-5. The Shocker game, only 6 points, but he had 9 rebounds and 8 assists in that game. TCU, 11-6-4. Oklahoma State, 18-5-2. Texas Tech, 12-5-3. KU, the first time, 15-7-10. Coleman Hawkins, like, it's not that he has erupted. It's not. That's not what has happened.
And it's the guys around him.
Yeah, he has been doing this all year. And by the way, what he's been doing all year is what he's done his entire career. It just fits when the other pieces are doing what they're supposed to do. And I bring all this up because there was a time where Jerome Tang was defending him, and we were like, you know what? He's fine. He's a big kid. He can handle it. Like, he's not all of that stuff. I say all that because he has it, and it's been impressive to me, just sort of done his thing, right? Like, he's not wavered from what he does, even though from the outside, everyone's like, why isn't this guy scoring 20 points a night? And you're like, guys, like, he's never done that before. Why are we even expecting him to do that? That's not the kind of player he is. And now you see it. And like, he's one of the more gifted big men passers that we have in college basketball, but you see all that stuff and it starts to work a little better. And what he does is highlighted. It's not any different than what he was doing individually while they were losing games. It's not him. It's everybody else. And so let's just like, I just want to remind people of that because that's the perception right now. It's finally Coleman Hawkins is playing well. I'm like, he's been playing pretty well all year. Like it hasn't been his fault.
I got to tell you, your take on, you know, calling K-State a great team has triggered several people. We've got a message got a message from Rick. I mean, he says, you know, don't call an 11 loss team great. In K-State on X, Chuck reached out to us and said, saying K-State is a great team is an insanely bad take. So, I mean, you know, you've triggered a handful of people by calling Kansas State great.
All right. Let's say they're playing great. How about that? If that's going to be, if we're, and I'm going to guess that everybody's saying that is a KU fan, just a shot, the wild shot in the dark, that's the case. I know Rick certainly is. They're playing great. I don't know what was the, what's the team? What do you call the team that's beat Arizona and Kansas and Iowa State, in by the metrics since
West
what
Virginia.
Is it? West, but by the metrics since at least January 25th has been the best team in the country, like, you know, analytically. I don't know what you, I'm not saying that they've had a great season. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they had a great season. I'm saying what we're watching right now is a great team.
I think if it's anything for me,
it's not fluky. It's not lucky. Like they've done it long enough now that that's what we're seeing. Haven't had a great season. They played like a terrible team for most of the season, but what we've seen now for 3 weeks is a great basketball team. Can they continue it long enough? I don't know. They obviously, that's a huge ask.
I think if anything for me, what it does and the way that they've been playing lately, I think it shines a light on how bad things had been and how inexcusable that is. Like that's absolutely. Just missed opportunities early in the season. Like the way that they have played in the last 2 weeks, that's a team that could have won the Big 12. It's a team that could have been in the top 25. It's a team that could have gotten one of the higher seeds in the NCAA tournament. But everything from mid-January to, you know, before to the start of the season was underwhelming. And, you know, honestly, extremely disappointing, especially when you contrast that with the way that they've been playing. If they were able to take what they've done over the last 2 weeks and do it from the start of the season to now, it would be a completely different conversation about the Wildcats. And we would be talking about them as one of the top teams, you know, in the country. And I know they're playing like one of the top teams in the country right now. Their body of work overall says otherwise. I just know. And look, I'll be the first to admit, like I'm a KU guy. I don't want to play K-State. Like I didn't want to play them over the weekend because I mean, you could see it coming a mile away, the way that the Wildcats have been playing and how great they had been. I wouldn't want to be the coach of a team facing Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament because they could make a run in the Big 12 tourney. Assuming they make it to the NCAA tournament, I wouldn't want to be opposite of the Wildcats in the NCAA tournament because they're poised to be able to knock somebody off if they can get into the field. So yeah, I mean, like I think they can be extremely dangerous, but for me, it just shines a light on how disappointing the start of this season was because the conversation could be entirely different with the way that we've been talking about Kansas State.
And it's not like that wasn't even supposed to be a lightning rod take, but here's why I brought it up. And I appreciate the commentary from Chuck and Rick and everybody. And yes, Chuck in his bio is a KU fan. That's what I assumed. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. Chuck says, again, they're playing terrific basketball right now and could end up being really good, but they're not a great team. Okay. So they're terrific now, could be really good, but they're not great. Right now, what we're looking at, and here's my point. I think we're crossing T's and dotting I's. Define it however you want. My point is, it is not a lucky team, right? It's not some random, they got hot and the ball's bouncing their way for a couple of weeks and like the pendulum swung from a really unlucky team to no. Like we saw a really good or great, whatever you want to call it, team play really, really poor basketball for a long time. And now we're seeing that exact same team playing up to their potential. And their potential, I think, is to be a great team. I really do. But that goes way back. Like thought that before coming into the season. Like, I really liked this roster, and they just didn't ever put it together. They shot 1 of 19 from three last night and beat Arizona. Bad teams don't do that. Bad teams can't do that. They're not capable of doing that. And I know Arizona shot the ball poorly too. That's due in part to what K-State's able to do out there, right? Like, I just don't want to lose sight of, and all of this being said, Tommy, it's going to make it, if they don't get into the NCAA tournament, if they don't find a way to do this really unbelievable thing, had we said it a few weeks ago, it is going to highlight the disappointment of this season even more. It is, because we'll know what this team was capable of, and it took them way too long to get it together. That's the point of all this. So I hope that they get it together, and I hope they stay on the streak, because they're a really fun team to watch when they're playing like this.
Yeah, I think that's the really important thing as we move forward in the remaining seven games in the conference season into the conference tournament, is that if this ends up being all for naught for the Wildcats, you know, if they can string together a bunch of wins and, you know, let's say that they're on the bubble or whatever, and they ultimately get left out of the field and this entire streak ends up being all for naught, I think it's going to leave a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people, because it's what could have been. It's what could have been. And, you know, ultimately it was all for naught. And so, you know, yeah, like I think for me, just in general, I want to see them continue this. I want to see them in the tournament, because otherwise it seems just like a waste. Like, it seems like a waste of all of this talent. It seems like, you know, you knock off the 13th ranked team last night. You knock off the, what was Kansas at the time, 15 or 16 on Saturday. You beat Iowa State in Ames decisively. You know, you beat West Virginia decisively on the road by 13, going back a couple of weeks ago at the end of January. Like, there have been these big time wins. And what I don't want to have happen is, I don't want us to get to mid March and be like, well, I guess that didn't really matter. Like they didn't make the field. Like, they couldn't overcome that they're not great in the net. They couldn't overcome the fact that they didn't have a quality non-conference win, you know, or that they went on a really terrible run in the end of December, early January. They got beat by a Wichita State team that is barely hanging on by a thread right now. Those are things that I don't want to have happen, because then it's like, man, we wasted all this time talking about what could have been with this team. So yeah, just for, like, selfishly for me, I want to see them keep winning, because I don't want this to be all for naught.
Same. I feel the exact same way. There's just too much potential here to throw it away. And I'm going to go back to another point from Rick, talking about the Big 12 being down, the SEC and the Big 10 are better. The problem with that is we don't really know until that wasn't the case when they weren't playing conference games. And right now in the net, according to the net rankings, the SEC is better. Yes. But the Big 12's right behind them, and they're ahead of the Big 10 when you look at the net, which is what matters in all of this. K-State has now beat the seventh team in the net, the 11th team in the net, and the 10th team, 7, 10, and 11 over the last couple of weeks. They've beaten now in those net rankings. So for everything that matters, those do matter. You can say that the Big 12 is down, but the NCAA and the things that matter, they don't agree. The Big 12 isn't down. The Big 12 at the top, even if you want to say in the middle, it's not as good as maybe we thought, I could agree with that. But at the top it is, and K-State's beat three of those teams. Three basically top 10 teams in this stretch. They need to keep going. They got to keep going. Like, there's not room for error. They maybe can afford one loss the rest of the way, honestly, if they want to get in. Man, it's fun. I'm so glad to be having this conversation and not the one we were having around Christmas time. We're hot taking it because the weather's cold, Tommy. We're saying K-State's a great team, or I am anyway.
You're saying K-State's a great team.
So you don't agree?
No, I think that they're playing really well. I think that they are.
Obviously,
I think they're
playing.
They're a good team.
Let's reframe it.
Okay.
They played terrible for a lot of the season. They're playing incredible for a lot of the season. Everyone agrees on that. So what would you define the team as then? Because my thing is, like, they're great because they're capable of beating anybody. Like, they're a great team that played terrible at the beginning of the year, I think is a more accurate statement than they're a bad team that's playing incredible now.
I think they're a good team that is dangerous. That's okay. How I would classify them. They're a good team that is dangerous. They're a team that I said it in the last segment. I wouldn't want to face them in the Big 12 conference tournament. I wouldn't want to face them in the NCAA tournament if they can make it into the field. They're a team that they've got the talent to be able to make a little bit of a run and to make some noise. And so, you know, Jerome Tang, remember, he's got experience leading a team to the second weekend in the NCAA tournament. And so he's been there before. He's got that experience. He's got this team playing really well right now. You just can't, unfortunately, throw away how bad things were for the first 2+ months of the season. Unfortunately, you just can't do that. So you have to take that into consideration. And I think because of that, I'm not willing to call them a great team at this point. If they can solidify their place in the NCAA tournament without much of a debate, then I'd be willing to reassess that. But right now, I call them a good team that's really dangerous.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can settle for that. And it doesn't really matter. It's relevant. It's just something that happened to come up that people are reacting to, so we can continue it. What do we call KU then? Is KU a great team as we transition into the Jayhawks last night? Is KU a great team that consistently plays bad? Or plays below the standard of being a great team? Their resume is good. Their resume is fine. It's a top 10 resume. We're concerned. I'm concerned at their seeding and the potential that they don't end up in Wichita. Very concerned. It's one of the top things people ask me about all the time, because Wichita's coming to March, or March Madness coming to Wichita, and it's on people's mind. I would tell you right now, if they handle their business, they're probably okay. They're still 11 in the net. They play a stretch of games here. First started with Colorado last night, where they have the opportunity to probably solidify themselves right back into that 2-seed, 3-seed, worst case scenario area, but they have to handle their business. And against Colorado last night, Tommy, I mean, it wasn't what we thought it would be. They were 18-point favorites in that game. Never felt like they were 18-point favorites in that game. So what is KU? Is KU a good team that's just played better more consistently than K-State, or is KU a great team?
No, I don't think KU is a great team. I think KU can be a great team. I think that KU has underperformed, underdelivered. They've been disappointing in the way that they are handling opponents that are, inferior to them. Like, I would call Colorado an inferior team. They were going into that game 0-12 in conference play. And like you mentioned, the Jayhawks were 18-point favorites. And I agree with you. It never felt like, you know, Kansas was really able to put them away until the very end. At one point early in the second half, the Jayhawks had a big lead that Colorado cut down to 6. And that's, I think, symptomatic of what's been a larger issue overall with the Jayhawks throughout most of this season, really in conference play, is their inability to put teams away, their inability to flex a little bit and say, we are a better team than you, and we're going to put you away, and we're going to leave no doubt. That's what I wanted to see in this game last night. We talked about it yesterday. It wasn't about whether or not KU needed the win. Of course they did. Everybody knew they were going to win, but I wanted to see how they would win at home against a team that is inferior to them. I wanted to see them put their foot on the neck of Colorado, and they didn't do it. They literally didn't do it until the end of the game. And that's concerning to me moving forward. It's a team that I know that, you know, you and you've said it so many times, like, you're concerned about whether or not they play in Wichita. I get it. I get that that's a concern for people locally. For me, what I'm more concerned about, I've said this before, I'm concerned they're going to get bounced in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, regardless where they play. We end up as a 4 or 5 seed. Right. I said this before. They're going to go up against a 12 or 13 seed that nobody in the country is going to want to play, and it's got upset written all over it.
I agree. They're two different things, honestly. Like, I'm not, and I don't think anybody's saying they want them to play in Wichita because they think it enhances their ability to advance through the tournament. We want them to play in Wichita so it's a great party and a great thing for the community. It's not that I think it's going to make KU more likely to win tournament games. But yes, and they lost the second half last night to Colorado. They lost the second half to Colorado. Why does that happen? How does that happen? And, you know, you look at it and it's a 12-point win, and that's fine. And it's they play good defense. The lineup that they put out there last night, which is the lineup that is their defensive lineup. And even if you look at the three individual guys that people have had a problem with, Hunter Dickinson was 8 of 11 from the field. Okay. He's 19-9. Take that all day, right? KJ Adams was great by the numbers. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals and a block on 5 of 7 shooting. Who's not taking that? Right? DeJuan Harris was right where you want him to be. 10 and 5 assists with 6 rebounds. Like those three were, you'll take that most nights. That's, I cannot figure out with KU what it's lacking. I really can't. Everyone points to that rotation not being the best, and I'll concede that that's the case. I just can't find it, right? I can't find why. Like, why? Those three are pretty consistent in what they do. Why is that not enough? Is it, and the other thing is too, like, Zeke Mayo is significantly better than anybody else they had last year. Significantly better. I guess McCullough, when he was healthy, you could make a case for it. But I can't figure it out for KU for anything. What is it? What can they do? Because those three players, people say, don't need to play. Like, they were good last night, and they only beat Colorado by 12. They were good defensively, which those three should always allow them to be. So, like, what would playing any one of those three less minutes have accomplished last night? Because those three were all three individually good last night.
DeJuan Harris wasn't good offensively. I mean, DeJuan Harris was 4 of 11 from the field.
But he's never that good offensively. That's not what he does for this team.
But, you know, the efficiency is not, you know, where it is for like a Hunter Dickinson or even KJ Adams last night. It doesn't help when Ryland Griffin is 0-5 from the field. And even Zeke Mayo, you know, was 4 of 12. So he was letting it fly. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Now, I get that, you know, he's going to be able to provide you more of an offensive spark than probably anybody else. But I think a lot of it comes down to they lack. I don't want to use the word intensity. They lack but I'm going to use it. They lack an intensity to be able to put teams away, where especially in the second half. You remember like going back to the beginning of conference play when we saw this team clamp down defensively in the second half of games, like where they were holding. Like I think Arizona State was one of the games where they held Arizona State to like under 20 points, I think, in the second half. They did that a couple of games early on, and you're like, okay, like that might be the identity of this team. They might not be able to score 90 points, but they can muck it up and they can force turnovers, and they're going to go after every single 50-50 ball. They're going to box out. They're going to do all of these things where they're going to win the game in the intangibles, and they're going to shut you down. We have not seen that recently from this Jayhawks team. Like, they're letting their opponents hang around for far too long without being able to put them away. And like, I know I just used the word intensity. It might be an intensity factor. It might be an intangible factor. It might not be something that shows up necessarily on the stat sheet when you're first looking at it at first glance. There might be some things that are going on underneath that where you have to really like dig deep and figure out what's going on.
I don't think there's any question about that. But at the end of the day, and I totally agree, at the end of the day, though, like the numbers do come through and matter something. I think for me,
I'm looking for style points. And I know that like, that's not what like ultimately decides, you know, game for anybody, but like the style points haven't been there outside of the game that they beat Iowa State at home on Big Monday last week.
Yeah.
In the last month plus, that's been the only game where I feel like the style points have been there.
It's one of the stranger things I can remember. Last year, it was very obvious, right? Like, it was so obvious what they needed. They couldn't shoot a three. Like, they couldn't do anything. And it's there's probably some of that. Like, they're so starved for another scorer right outside of the big three. And when Zeke Mayo and the big three play well, they're going to be really hard. Maybe that's all it is. But, like, if you go back and look at some of the losses that are annoying, most of the time it's because they didn't bring it defensively. And it may simply be that. Like, it may just be that this must be an elite, elite, like top, top, top level defense for them to be the best version of themselves. And I think that's probably the case. And in some of these games, if you go back and look at the losses, it's pretty generally the same thing, right? They allowed 75-ish, but, you know, they allowed too many points. And they're not capable consistently of keeping up with that offensively. I think that's probably it. As far as, like, you know, energy and all that, I don't know. It's so hard to know that stuff unless you're really – and we'll ask Rias Lotta in the next hour if maybe he gets a sense of that, right? Like, you really got to be inside it to understand that stuff. It's hard for me to imagine with Bill Self and those three seniors that they don't – and really four, I guess – that they don't care a ton. I don't believe that. Now, maybe the personality is a little bit different. But I can't imagine those guys aren't bringing it every day at practice, aren't focused.
Self himself said that they're not. Like, he said after the Kansas State loss that he felt like there were some energy issues and just a lack of focus issues, even outside of game days on practice days.
Then you got to make substitutions, right? Then if somebody's not giving you the energy they need to, pull them off the court. Pull them off the court. It's not like KU's not talented up and down the roster.
But isn't that the rub, right? Like, that's not something that at this point in the season Bill Self does. Like,
he values trust over anything else. Challenge that trust publicly, like, I don't trust this guy to bring the right energy, then pull him off the court.
I agree with you.
I don't know who he's talking about either. Like, he's trying to motivate his guys too. Like, he's being a psychologist at the same time. All right, we'll continue. Shreyas Lotta will help us with KU when we come back in the second hour. There's a lot of quarterback news in the NFL. The Shockers also playing tonight against UTSA. We'll come back more Sports Daily right after this.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in. It is Sports Daily. It is another hour, and we are happy to be with you in this winter edition. Ah, it's cold outside. Tom, you know what the best kind of Mexican food in the cold weather is?
You're going to tell me regardless. But I don't know.
A burrito.
Clearly, Max didn't have the rim shot ready to go.
There it is.
That's so bad. That's all. I mean, like, look, even if I was feeling 100%,
Thank you.
Not good.
We'll be here all day. We'll be here all week. It's cold, but, you know, Max is in there powering through for us. Get it? Max Power. Glad to have Max in on the show. Certainly helps us a great deal on days where Tommy's sick, can't be there. We got school canceled, kids going crazy. We got Max there holding down the fort. He's taking your calls at 869-1240. We're taking your video comments, where it's been pretty active today. Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different places. Thanks for watching on 12 News Connected. Most of it surrounding what we think of K-State, how we would define K-State. I called them a great team, and that's got people a little riled up. It's got KU fans a little riled up. Let's be honest about it, and that's okay. It's interesting, and we're talking about it. How many great teams do you think there are in any particular year, Tommy? I guess that's where that's an important part of that too. I would say usually anybody that considers themselves inside like the top 15 teams or so out of 280 or whatever it is, I would probably call them a great team. Maybe that's a little too generous. I don't know. But, you know, a two or a three seed in the NCAA tournament, those are generally great teams that have, you know, had great years or whatever you want to define it as.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put, you know, top 10. There are probably 10 teams usually on any given year that you could probably identify as a true great team. I think this year, because we've had so many teams that have cycled through in the top five and top 10 in the country, that there might be, you know, a handful of others, but no team is perfect. You know, and so I think that you've got to make that distinction as well. I see this weekend is the Alabama Auburn game, right? Isn't that 1-2? I believe in
maybe so. I don't know.
I believe that's this weekend. So I'm really excited about that matchup, because you've got, you know, two of I mean, they're great teams. They're elite teams. What they've been able to do, you know, in the SEC for sure, I think is going to be really exciting.
Man, I can't believe that that win last night for K-State only moved them up three spots in the net rankings. Speaking of, that's tough. That's a tough blow. And maybe that changes as more teams play tonight. But man, I sure thought that would lift them more. And it's a little discouraging, quite honestly, when you think about what they're going to need over the course of this thing to climb back up there. I'd have to go back and look at the bracket or the listing of teams over the years to see like most losses. And I bet we can do that pretty quickly. Most losses to reach the NCAA tournament. It's not usually more than like 11 unless you've won a conference tournament or something. It's, you know, they're in trouble. You know, like they have to essentially be perfect the rest of the way. That's pretty crazy. And that's a pretty big ask. You know, you go back. Okay. So I'm looking at this. And the problem is an at large, like the numbers I'm looking at are teams getting in that won conference tournaments. We got to find at
large. Yeah. So what I'm reading now, and again, I don't know how accurate this is. But I'm reading that the most losses by an at-large team has been 14.
Yeah.
But that's not very common.
Right. Yeah. And it feels like, yeah, every once in a while, like Syracuse or something would sneak in with 12 losses. So we're looking at K-State right now with 11. Like they really don't have wiggle room here. How many games do they have left? Six?
Seven conference games.
So you could go 20-11. And then to see what happens in the conference tournament, it is going to be a stretch at that point. Like I don't know that there is a path for them that doesn't involve the bubble. Now, I think it was TJ that was telling me yesterday, Lunardi has them as like the next four out as of right now, which is interesting. I don't know that that means a ton though, because they could win all their games and they're probably going to stay right in that range. But if they lose any one or certainly two of them, they're going to fall out. They're going to fall out. And that's what makes their game so fun right now. Honestly, like it sucks that they're in this position, but it does make it fun when you're watching that game last night, kind of knowing everything's on the line. That did bring a little extra energy to it. So we're happy that they're playing well. We'll talk to Tim Fitzgerald about it tomorrow. We'll have Shreyas Lada to help us more with KU coming up in this hour. We're also going to talk, but there is a ton of quarterback stuff happening in the NFL, ton of it over the last couple of days with Hall of Fame quarterbacks potentially, you know, rumored to be moved around and all of these different things. So we'll get into that in this hour as well. We'll give you some HTO. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee on these cold mornings. They deliver either way, some nice hot coffee there. At the Odyssey Studios, all across the Odyssey family. So thank you to them. Man, what a great night of college basketball. What an emotional night of college basketball. I'm sure KU fans don't think that was a great night of college basketball, because it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't a great game against Colorado, but it was a game. And then we get a game tonight, Tommy. We get Wichita State, UTSA, on the eve sort of that Memphis game at home. They've got a chance here to also extend a win streak. Can they, in a very different way, you know, catch the same kind of fire as K-State? It is not relative, right? They're not going to be playing for some at-large berth in any of this or anything like that. But they will have an opportunity if they stay hot, and they've won two in a row, so relative terms here. But if they can get hot, maybe they could climb up into that top four or five in the AAC, which is... You know, I think that's probably where most people expected them to be. It's still out there for them, but you have to handle it. Like they're in the same boat as K-State. If that's going to happen, they got to kind of win them all.
Well, you're playing at this point for seeding in the conference tournament. You know, you want to try to avoid one of the, you know, early day rounds for the American Conference tournament, right? Like you want to make sure that you're getting a bye so you don't necessarily have to play early on and all of that. So that's really where they're at. You know, they're in the bottom four right now in the standings. UTSA is right above you in conference play. They're 4-7. Wichita State is a half game back at 3-7. So you get this win tonight, you know, that you're going to be able to move up above them, you know, and climb your way back, you know, in the standings. This game tonight and then the game against Memphis. And I saw yesterday that the Memphis game will be on ESPN. So you're getting a national audience. You played Memphis tight at their place last time. You've got an opportunity here. I mean, like, think about if they can win tonight, and let's just, you know, throw it out there. If they can snag a home win against Memphis this weekend, then you're looking at 15-10 overall and 5-7 in conference play. And I think you start to feel a little bit better overall about the direction that this team is going. That's a tall task and easier said than done. You lost to UTSA last time you played them. You know, so you've got to make sure that you can get that win first. And then who knows? I mean, you've got Memphis coming into Coke Arena. If there's a way that you can steal one at that point, we're having a different conversation.
Very different. And that's, you know, that's what you can hope for right now. That Memphis game on the schedule is the most exciting they'll have left until the NCAA tournament. But it is very similar to last year in that you just, like, you know that they're capable of hanging with any team in a tournament format. So you just get there. But it sure would be nice to see them consistently play that way down the home stretch before you get to the NCAA tournament. And that's what they'll have tonight. You'll have the opportunity to listen to that game tonight, of course, over on the home of Shocker Basketball, KEYN. So looking forward to that chance for them tonight as well. We do have Shreya Slotta coming up. Let's set the table here for what we're talking about. So with this quarterback stuff, and we'll dig in the next segment. And this really caught me by surprise. Like, Matt Stafford trade rumors now out there for some reason. I didn't know that was a thing. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's just people reaching for the truth, but it's being put out there a lot of places. And then the more official one is that the Jets and Aaron Rodgers are going to break up. Where does Rodgers go? Does he go anywhere? Should he go anywhere? Do you take a swing at him? What does Kellen Moore do now in New Orleans? Is Derek Carr going to be one of these guys? And I think it ties in, interestingly, Tommy, to a quarterback class not a lot of people are excited about, certainly not at the level they were excited about the class last year, where we don't even know what are the Titans going to do? Are they just going to take a quarterback to take a quarterback, even if they don't like it? We've heard they are interested in trading around a little bit. So we'll get into all of that because it was, I don't know, like, Matt Stafford need to be traded? Like, why would the Rams trade Matt Stafford? Like, where is this coming from? I just thought it was all strange. But we'll dig in because there's a lot of quarterback movement potentially coming this offseason. Some of it might make sense and some of it might not make any sense at all.
I think that if you can get, I know we'll talk about it more next segment, but if you can get a decent return in LA for Matt Stafford, really? And set the table. I mean, they're already going to shop Cooper Kupp. So it looks like, you know, there might be a little bit of a reset, you know, going on with the Rams. I don't know. We'll see.
I couldn't disagree with that more. We'll discuss that. We'll see what the Chiefs need to do. Are any trades to be made for the Chiefs? Because you kind of start to hear that now. Any, like, post, you know, draft type trades that they could make? We'll get into all of it. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We're with you for another hour. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. It is a cold and chilly day. We're rocking and rolling, though, right on through. And we're not happy about it. But we're happy to be here with you. We're not happy about the weather. I don't know that anybody is. We've had enough. It's February. It's February 12th. We get a lot of snow and cold after February 12th, but you know what? We're done with it. We're over it. We're sick and tired of it. Mother Nature, if you're listening, call in and we'll talk about it because we don't like it. Good. Here's something for you though, Tommy. Want to get out there and play golf? Golf sounds great. Crestview Country Club, great supporters of the show. You can do that. Simulator rooms. I'm telling you, man, there's something to that. It's freezing cold outside. You just walk in. It's nice and toasty. You throw the games on. You jump on those. So you can play any course in the country on those simulators. Simulators, like, this is the thing now. They've got a league on ESPN about this thing. But it's fun because you can do it and the weather's great. And it's not windy. whatever it is. Crestview's got two of them, bars open, lots of games, lots of food. It's fun. Lots of different kinds of stuff you can do there, even when it's not golf season. So give Crestview a call. Ask them about their memberships. Our wives were just at a big Galentine's Day event there over the weekend. And that went about how you expected. But they had a blast. They went in and they partied hard. And, you know, we slaved away, just being the good husbands, watching the kids, doing our thing while they had a good time.
My wife let me know how much fun it was. And, you know, I was changing diapers and putting the kids down. So, hey, you know what? Like they've got stuff for everybody at Crestview.
Yeah. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. We'd love to see you out there. All right, Tommy, let's talk about some of this quarterback stuff happening across football yesterday. Shots are fired in like rumors and all of these things. So Aaron Rodgers is done in New York. I don't think that's a surprise. It didn't work. There was always a pretty good chance it wouldn't work, especially when you consider a major injury and then the next season, the recovery from an injury that takes a long time to recover from when you're young and spry. I think the interesting part is, what, if anything, does Rodgers have left in the tank? And like, when we know that injury takes a while to recover from, it's kind of a shot in the dark. I don't know if he's got enough left in the tank to go be effective somewhere. He wasn't terrible last year, but he certainly wasn't like, I'm going to help lead a team to the promised land good. So as he gets older, what are the chances do you think that could still possibly be in there? You know, he threw for almost 4,000 yards last season, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He completed 63% of his passes. There's a lot of teams that would take that. So, I mean, I think he absolutely, if he wants to play, he'll find a spot. But I think the question becomes, can he help a team win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, he had a couple of vintage performances for the Jets last year where, you know, individual statistic line wise, he was like the old Aaron Rodgers. They just didn't win. They just didn't win at the clip that they needed to. And, you know, I think that the speculation is that he still feels like he can go and can play. And a lot of that speculation comes from the fact that he actually flew to the Jets facility to meet with Aaron Glenn and talk about a future. And I think a lot of that speculation was that if he wasn't intending to want to play, he wouldn't have flown up there to talk about the future. Now, ultimately, they decided it wasn't going to work and they're going to part ways and whatever. And I think a lot of people saw that coming. But the fact that he had the willingness to go there, I think, leads people to believe that he wants to play and that he'll find another landing spot. To your point, I think that there are a handful of teams out there that would take Aaron Rodgers, even for a year, if they know that he's going to pass for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But yeah, the rub is that what else do these teams have? And is he the missing link to be able to get them to a championship? That was the whole deal in New York, was that he was going to go to the Jets and that they were a quarterback away. They were an Aaron Rodgers away from winning a championship, and it didn't work.
Clearly they weren't just a quarterback away. And the team that you've seen that like jumps out to you, like where could he go where this could even be a conversation, is the 49ers. He's got ties to that area. Do they want to pay Brock Purdy? And if they don't, could Rodgers be a stopgap? I think basically could Rodgers be better than Purdy and take them to a Super Bowl? That's as good an opportunity as there is in football to just walk into a roster. That becomes the ultimate question. I don't know that there's any other spot.
I think the Rams, I mean, I know that obviously there's been the speculation that the Rams want to trade Matthew Stafford potentially. And if you're, let's just say that they decide that they want to go a different direction at quarterback. Okay. Whether or not that's the right decision, let's say that that's what they want to do and move away from Matthew Stafford, but you're not enthralled with anybody that's in the draft. You either don't want to trade up to get somebody like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or whatever in the draft. You don't like who potentially will be available to you when you're able to draft, then maybe you trade away Matthew Stafford, you get a return, you sign Aaron Rodgers for a season, and then you go look at the draft class next year. I could see that potentially being something that the Rams would consider.
I think that'd be crazy. The Rams were a playoff team last year. The Rams have an ascending defense. Matt Stafford was better than Aaron Rodgers last year. And yeah, they might trade Cooper Kupp, but Cooper Kupp didn't provide them anything. So who cares, right? Like, I don't, that's what, and we'll just transition right to Matt Stafford. I do not get that at all. What are you afraid of in the NFC West if you're the Rams right now? They had they put together and got that defense playing well by the end of the year. They've kind of got everything you need, and Stafford has shown he can be there. Stafford was better than Rodgers last year, to me. So that'd be great. I don't know why they would do that. Like, Stafford's still got plenty left, and just because you might need to trade Cooper Kupp didn't give you anything down the stretch. Do they really need to blow it up because Cooper Kupp doesn't have it left in the tank?
This whole speculation of Matt Stafford potentially being traded out of the Rams, I think it comes from the news that the Giants hired Chad Hall to be their assistant quarterbacks coach. Chad Hall is the sister of Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly. And so there's Chad this Hall rumor.
Is the sister.
Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, and Chad Hall are brother and sister.
Got it. Okay.
And so the rumor is that the Giants would like to have Matthew Stafford be their quarterback. Remember, they moved on from Daniel Jones, you know, during the season. They're looking for their next quarterback. And the rumor is that they hired Chad Hall to potentially, you know, facilitate or help get Matthew Stafford to play for the Giants.
Okay. So then it would be a Stafford desire, I guess,
yeah,
at that point. And okay, like, all right, that I
but
guess.
But if that happens, I can also see the Rams saying, you know what, we don't necessarily want to lose Matthew Stafford, but while he's still got value,
right,
let's see if we can get a return for him. You know, we'll get a return for him from the Giants, who are quarterback desperate right now. So why don't we try to get a haul in return? And if we don't like who's available to be drafted, then we could potentially go sign Aaron Rodgers for a year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense, you know, and I still wouldn't do it if I was the Rams, unless Stafford, like, really wants to go, because the Rams are in a position in the NFC, like, let's just, like, put everything to the side. We'll call the Eagles the favorite in the NFC next year. Like, that's fair. Without anything else happening, where would you put the Rams? Because I wouldn't put them any worse than probably third in the NFC next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably go.
The Niners are in there. The Commanders are in there. Commanders.
I would probably say fourth. Like, I would go Eagles, Lions, Commanders, and then probably the Rams after that.
Who would be, if all things are true, let's say Cooper Kupp's gone, but Matt Stafford was the quarterback, who would you be picking on February 12th to win the NFC West? Because I would pick the Rams.
I'd probably pick the Niners. At this point. And I know that, like, they were just decimated by injuries last year. Christian Caffrey was, you know, not himself a season ago, dealt with a bunch of injuries. If he can bounce back, then, I mean, that catapults them as far as power rankings in the NFC for sure.
I just think I think the Rams have one of the great young receivers in the game. They got a great running back. They can solve line, and their defense got just worlds better by the end of it. I would love, if I'm the Rams, to have Matt Stafford try and go another 2 or 3 years in this window. Now, if they love a quarterback in the class and they want to go get, if you want to make that decision, okay. But if you're trading staff, unless the Giants are willing to give you like a first, which they're not, you know, where do they pick? Like second or third overall? You think the Giants are going to trade that pick for Matt Stafford? No, they're not going to do that. So
they need a quarterback desperately. And if they don't like any of the guys that are projected to them early in the draft, then
trade that high of a draft pick for Stafford?
Who are you planning on drafting if you're the Giants that are going to help? I get it, but who's... Who else is going to help you? They need to get a quarterback one way or the other. So, like, who are they going to go sign? Who's going to be a better option for them?
Well, look, there are going to be go sign Aaron Rodgers. Go sign Derek Carr if he becomes available. If it allows you to get Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or one of these other guys that falls, you don't have to take a quarterback if you don't like the quarterbacks. But are you really willing to trade that kind of draft capital for? And again, I still think Stafford's really good. But Stafford's 37. How many more years does he give you? I don't know. I mean, that would have to be a Stafford desire. But even if it was, I don't think I would trade that for him. And maybe it wouldn't take that. Maybe the Rams would be like, you know what, give us your second, which is probably like pick 35 or whatever. Without having it in front of me. It's wild to me that the Rams would even consider this because of how good I think they have a chance to be next year.
But again, I mean, you just said it, like he's 37. So if you're going to move him while he still has value that you can get in return.
The Rams are an actual Super Bowl contender next year. The Giants are not.
Are they? Like, are
yeah,
they actually?
Sure.
You think,
sure.
Like, you think that compared with the Eagles and the Lions and the other teams in that conference, you think that they are a Super Bowl contender in that conference? Because
yes,
I don't. I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender.
No, I do. And there's you know, there's going to have to be some offseason played out in that for sure. But yes, I do actually consider them a Super Bowl contender. I don't know what their odds are on that. I'd have to go look. You know, I would just have to go look at what, but I would consider them with
I'm
Stafford,
not even sure that they will win their division against the 49ers next season. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend upon, you know, what the Niners do at quarterback and if they return with Brock Purdy and how healthy they are and things like that. But
I'll tell you, I think the Niners
say the Rams are going to win the division.
If the Rams have Stafford, I would say that the Niners have more questions than the Rams right now. Now the upside might be higher. I'll concede that the upside of the Niners might be higher, but I think they got more questions. I mean, you're talking about a young ascending team in the Rams with an old quarterback. That's it. Like it's outside of Stafford. Like that is a young ascending team. They've done a really nice job of rebuilding that since their Super Bowl. The defense looks good, right? They still have Nacua and a great run game and all of these things. I absolutely think they have a chance next year. They had a chance this year.
My point is that whether or not it's the right decision to trade Matthew Stafford, that's not what my argument is. My argument is that if Stafford desires, like, let's just say to go and reunite with his brother-in-law,
that's different.
Then at that point, if I'm the Rams, it's like, okay, well, look, like, let's go ahead and shift our focus here. And at least the positive, at least the consolation prize is that you can still get value for him right now at 37, as opposed to at 39 or 40 or 41. Like, let's go ahead. If he wants to move, let's go ahead and move him. And then we can at least get something in return from the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, if he wants to go, that's a different, scenario. I just had not heard anything about that until literally yesterday. So it was just surprising to me. So then how does all of this tie into the draft, right? Now we're seeing Tennessee maybe willing to trade out. Do they really like Cam Ward? Do they just sit there and take Abdul Carter or, you know, Travis Hunter? I still would take a swing at Shedeur Sanders. Like I'm telling you, like I don't know about Cam Ward if I would do it, but I would do it for Shedeur Sanders. If I'm a team sitting there, I would take him and let's just find out because he fits a profile. Like he doesn't have this huge arm or whatever it is, but like all the other stuff that makes quarterbacks good, he's good at all of it. Like he's good at being a quarterback. And so I would take him if I was a team up there and had a quarterback need. I think there is forgiveness now in the league for teams to miss at quarterback in the draft more than there used to be because it happens all the time, right? We know about the class, but wouldn't like, why not take a swing at it? What are the Titans going to do? Now they may just love another player. And if I'm the Titans too, option one probably would be to trade down, but if nobody likes the quarterbacks and nobody's going to trade up to get one, right? So it's like, okay, what are you going to do there? But if you're the Titans, do you take a swing at one of the quarterbacks that you like, or do you just take Abdul Carter and punt at quarterback knowing you'll be bad again? And then maybe you bring in Derek Carr or whatever, or just roll with Will Levis for another year. And I think it's interesting with the draft this year because there are some clear needs. There are teams picking up there that clearly need quarterbacks and nobody thinks they're in any of them are going to take a quarterback, which I think ultimately at the end of the day, that won't happen. It always does. Teams will always take the quarterback, but you've got these two quarterbacks up there and a bunch of teams that could use a quarterback picking high in the draft. But it seems like right now the vibe of it is that nobody wants the quarterbacks.
And who are those? I mean, it's obviously Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. And so I think it depends upon, you know, how you are projecting them out in their careers. Are they going to be guys that can make an impact for you at that level? Shedeur Sanders has been projected like that at times. The thing about Cam Ward, though, is that he's been around for so long that I feel like if there was going to be a viable NFL future for him, he probably would have entered the draft earlier, right?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. I have a hard time like figuring out what the future for at least him looks like. And then Shador, and this isn't a knock on Shador Sanders at all. He did some really special things for Colorado last year. I just wonder like how much of it is substance and how much of it is hype. And until he actually gets on a team and until he actually starts football games at the pro level, nobody's really going to know that for sure.
I would definitely rather take my shot with Shador than Cam Ward. But five, Tommy, of the top seven teams in the draft as it currently stands need a quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers is done in New York, five of seven need a quarterback. Normally, that would mean Tennessee is in a real position of power here, but it hasn't felt that way yet. Who's going to take that swing? I feel like the Raiders are. I feel like the Raiders are going to trade up and do something crazy. I would love a futures bet on Shador going one overall. Just going to let you know that I would love, I think that bet is a good bet because I think the odds are good enough to do it. But when five of the top seven teams in the draft need a quarterback and we don't have anything solid, and like the feel is that no, like that's a little strange. And that's where I think you enter.
Where do you think that feel comes from? Like, why do you think that all of a sudden, like there's really,
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like there's this major interest in quarterback like there was a season ago.
It must be the two players. It must be Ward and Sanders. But I would tell you that like, and again, I'm not totally sold on Ward, but I wasn't totally sold on like CJ Stroud either. Like that's not a knock on Cam Ward. That's a knock on me. I don't have a strong opinion on Cam Ward, but I do on Shador. And Shador fits a profile that typically people fall in love with. Like the things that you think back to Baker Mayfield, like the quarterbacks that don't have like, that don't look the part as much, but by the end of the process, it's at the end of the day, you're like, man, that dude's a winner. He's a gamer. Like all those little things. Like usually that stuff plays out. Look at Bryce Young. Bryce Young doesn't have any of the like the tangibles. He just had all the intangibles. I think Shador Sanders has more of the physical stuff than Bryce Young had and the other stuff. So ultimately, I think Shador is going to end up going first in this draft. We'll see. Shreyas Lada, our KU insider, joining us now. Shreyas, did you guys get some snow up in Lawrence?
Yeah. I got back actually last night from I was heading back after my second article for the KU game. And it was like my windshield was iced over. So I was spending like 20, 25 minutes de-icing it and stuff like that and scraping it off. But yeah, it looks like we got a couple, I think 3, 4, 5 inches maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
We're at about 3 down here, I think.
Yeah, I'm not looking. I haven't been super happy with the amount of snow that we've had so far this year already. And then we have two more, I think, in the next week. No. Two more days of snow in the next week.
That's the rumor on the street. Good night to watch college basketball. It's a very interesting night of college basketball for the state of Kansas. Kansas right now, 11 in the net. They beat Colorado, maybe not by the margin people would have hoped for. They lost the second half of the game. I can't figure it out. What is it? Because if you think it's the big three, all of them had relatively good games by their own standard. They all kind of did what you would expect them to do when they're having a good night. And they did it collectively. And it felt like there was still a lot of meat left on the bone. We've seen Bill Self challenge energy and effort. I can't figure it out with this team, Shreyas. Like, what is it? Because though it wasn't those three last night, they were fine.
You know, I think energy and effort is a part of it, but I think those buzzwords that everyone likes to use,
right,
aren't necessarily a kind of encapsulation of this whole issue with this team. The end of the day is they're 320th in three-point rate. They don't make that many three-pointers either. It's not that much better than a team that was horrible at shooting threes last year. I think they're right around that pace in attempts and makes percentage-wise. And on top of that, they don't get to the free throw line. They're like 300th-ish, 350th probably in free throw rate. So it's hard for them to win games in a convincing fashion. I think 14-10 this year in predicting them like four against the spread. And if the spread is more than like 7 to 10 points, I'm probably picking the other team if I was a betting man. But like, you know, in these predictions that I do, I think I'm like 18-5. And a lot of it is just looking at the fact that, you know, Kansas just can't overwhelmingly beat anybody. They haven't overwhelmingly beat anybody outside of the Iowa State game in conference play. They haven't overwhelmingly anybody who is good, mind you. Like, the UCF game was a month ago, and they've been playing pretty much 500 ball from, like, mid-January onwards. And that's the second straight year where they've been kind of in conference plays, and then you look Big 12. And I asked KJ Adams about it, and he was like, I just don't know. And you know, these guys talk about energy, they talk about effort, but at the end of the day, the metric, you know, the roster construction is a part of it, but also the guys just haven't lived up to the expectations. I mean, KJ Adams now put together two really good games. And what is the talk on Jayhawk Twitter? Why is Flory Badunga not playing more? Why is he not doing this? Why is he not doing that? Flory's not played well these last three games.
No.
Let's call it what it is. He has not been as good as he was previously. Maybe he should be playing more minutes. I don't disagree with that. But he hasn't been what he was against Houston or UCF or some of these other teams. And I just think the consistency from these guys isn't there. The metrics-wise, they're not a – outside of defense, they're not a – fantastic offensive team. I think they're top 30, top 35 in KenPom metrics. And even their defense, you know, like I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. If Colorado had a pulse, like if they were good at basketball, that game probably is a lot closer than it is. Like, I was watching Colorado play basketball yesterday, and I was like, my goodness, I don't understand how you can be a Colorado fan and not be irritated, because the amount of entry passes they missed, cuts that they missed, you know, just isolation ball they played was not good. And KU got away with it because KU is a more talented team and Colorado is a bad team. But if KU was playing anywhere who was around 500 or even less than 500 in the conference, I think they have a lot closer game. I mean, you know, I knew the spread was 18.5, and I was no way they're covering 18.5 spread. It's just not happening. You know, they don't have the consistency to show that.
I don't know that we're going to fight. So, like, I guess with all of that, what is, like, where do you go? I think you just have to say KU, their ceiling, whatever they're like, it's going to be that they are maybe one of, if not the best defensive team in the country. Like, that's what they're going to have to do. We've been saying, you know, we've been singing this song for 2 years. Like, if it's not that, I just don't know if it's there. We've been asking the same thing. It's not there. So they have to be this defensive juggernaut. Do you think they can be over an extended period of time? They were fine defensively yesterday, and Colorado, I agree, had a lot to do with that. But yeah, can they find that? Because they've had it lots of times this year. They've looked like that kind of defensive team. Can they find that consistently?
You know, that's a tough question, but I'm going to say no, just because I don't see them winning six straight games in March. I just don't see it with this team. Maybe something can change, but, you know, at this point, I think they are what they are, and maybe they'll win two games in the NCAA tournament, and then they'll bow out in the Sweet 16, or they'll lose the round, the second round, like they've done the last 2 years. I mean, I'm thinking about the team since I've started covering KU. I don't know if this KU team is better than the first year KJ Adams at center team. Like, I don't think they are. And I said this yesterday to somebody. If Kevin McCullough was healthy last year, I might have taken last year's team over this year's team. I don't know if that's a hot take to say that.
It's not that hot.
But, you know, I think they were healthy. They had a higher ceiling than this year's team does. And they were just a better overall team. To me, like, with the amount of talent on this team, I don't understand how they're so dreadful in so many key offensive metrics. You just can't win basketball games. We don't take threes, make threes, or go to the free throw line. It's just too tough on your defense. And then when you play a team that can actually shoot the ball or got hot, like Kansas State is, you know, blitzing hot right now, you know, then it puts a lot of pressure. And these guys talk about energy and effort. I've seen that, but in conference play, what is the win that you can point to? And it was besides Iowa State, mind you, besides Iowa State, that you can point to and be like, dang, that was a good win for KU basketball. I don't have one. People are going to say UCF. UCF is not a good team. People are going to say it should have been Baylor, but Baylor was another disaster.
It should have been Houston.
It should have been Houston. That too. It should have been Houston.
But that's what's so frustrating, because it should have been Houston, right? Like, they should have beat Houston. And that's where it's all about consistency. This team has beaten Duke. It has beaten Michigan State, should have beaten Houston. Okay. Like you, like that is fair to say. So that is the upside. The upside is that they can literally beat anybody. The floor is much lower than that. And so I don't even know what we're supposed to do. They've got games coming up here. They absolutely need to, have to, whatever you want to call it, win the next four. And then two out of those final three are home games between Tech, Houston, and Arizona. Is 7-1 the proper benchmark down the stretch here? Because I feel like it should be.
Yeah, I think it should be. I think, 7-1, maybe 6-2, maybe even 5-3, if we're going to really be honest with ourselves here. I mean, like, they're playing a really easy stretch. Outside of BYU, they should not lose any of these, like, even be have a chance of losing these games.
Right.
Right? But the thing is, and this is what I'm going to say, is everyone's going to buy, I don't know how much people are going to buy into a four-game winning streak right now from Kansas. It'll look good. It's good. Maybe they can reinforce some good habits. They're playing against bad teams. Because the minute they play Texas Tech, they play Houston, or they play Arizona, which I think they'll beat Arizona because it's at home on senior night. They never lose on senior night. I think they'll win that game. I think they'll go to Houston, probably get their butt whooped. And on Texas Tech, that's a toss-up. And BYU, also another toss-up. I think it could go either way. But I think they should win these other games. I really, really do think, if this is what they think. Bill Self talks about the ceiling. He talks about energy. He talks about, where we're at, But I haven't seen Kansas play, consistent basketball for an entire week since that 2 or 3 game stretch where they won 3 straight conference games. Really, if we're talking about against good teams, I haven't seen them play really good since December. Like, it is what it is. And it's 2 straight years. I mean, you think about it, they were really good in conference play last year, too. They beat Connecticut. Connecticut was dominant last year, okay? I know Connecticut was down Steph Castle that game, but, they were dominant last year. And Kansas beat them. And Kansas, just to me, everyone talks about they should do this, they should do that. I don't know if there's a solution on this year's team to put them in a position to win an NCAA title. They're number 11 in net, but I don't even know why I sit there and say they're the number 11 team in the country. I just don't think they are. I think their ceiling could be that, but they haven't hit that ceiling in a month and a half.
Tria Slotta with us, KU beat reporter for the KC Star. Find all his work on social media. Find it at the KC Star. I'll selfishly let us finish with this then. Okay. If they're not actually 11, but they are 11, we're very anxiously awaiting their placement because the tournament comes to Wichita. I don't know how much of a bracketologist you are, but if they, let's say they go 6-2 down the stretch here, that enough to still make sure they play in Wichita for the NCAA tournament, do you think?
I think so. I think right now they're the 5 seed in Seattle. And selfishly, as somebody who wants to travel, I would like anywhere.
There is no way in the world that the 11th best team in the net, if that's where they are, is a 5 seed. That's not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. This was right after the Kansas State game. I saw somebody projected them 5 seed. So I think they'll probably end up in the anywhere from the 3 to 4 seed range. I'm guessing probably 3 seed just because their schedule was kind of soft down the kind of stretch. Selfishly, I'm hoping it's not in Wichita. I get it. You guys want it in Wichita. I want to travel. So,
travel down here. Come party in Old Town with the streets. Yes. You'll love it.
Yes. Yes. I think there's a good shot there in Wichita. I just don't, this is my thing. And I say this with the utmost love to college basketball. The consistency from even the top end teams is just not there. Week in, wake out, because at the end of the day, these are college kids, right? And college kids are going through college kid things, good, bad, ugly, right. Whatever, they just don't have consistency. So in that way, it works out in KU's favor, because this is the oldest team in the, Division I basketball in college basketball experience. So if they put together a little bit of a run here, then they're going to the tournament hot. You could get maybe a 3 or 4 seed. Maybe you win the first 2 games, and then maybe you have a favorable opponent in the Sweet 16. You win that, and bam, just like that, you're Elite Eight. You never know.
There it is. And it's fine. Yeah, I had an administrator tell me one time, I can't believe people actually bet college sports with all the things that these kids deal with off the field and court. They're like, you guys are crazy. for doing that. You have no idea what goes into every single game and who's dealing with what and, you know, girl problems or whatever it is. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Follow Shreyas on social. Find his work at the KC Star. We'll just keep trying to navigate this very strange KU season. We'll do it next week. A couple of games they ought to be able to handle before the next time we talk, no problem. But we know how that goes. It's easier said than done.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Good stuff there. Always appreciate Shreyas and his contributions here to the program.